Thank you, Paul. I don't know how on earth I'm going to follow that, but we'll see. If you've got your Bible, we're in chapter 12. Not only have we made it to the end of Daniel, not only have we made it to the end of Daniel's last vision, but if you read it in the NIV, we're quite literally at the end. It says the end times. And as we read and look at this passage, we might find it a bit of a scary passage, to be honest. We might find it a bit confusing. But what we see in this passage is actually a message of great hope. Great hope for those of us who are facing persecution, those who are going through tough times, who are going through tribulation and trials. We see a great hope. Daniel didn't know it, but we see in this passage that Jesus is going to come the first time, and he's going to go to the cross and die and be raised to life so that we can have a relationship with God. But we also see in this passage Jesus coming again, and everything, every tear will be dried away. We also see that this passage and this vision is quite important, because twice we see an angel saying, make sure you've got this. He says, right, make sure you've got it all written up and just keep it sealed. And he says it twice, and Daniel's like, what does it mean? And the angel's like, don't worry about that. Just make sure that this message is preserved, because this message is important, not only for those people with Antiochus, but for us today. It's been preserved so that we can read it and be encouraged. So I'll just read the passage. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the other. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally been broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He replied, go on your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the end of the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And what Paul just read. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished to the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go on your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So we've come to the end of our series, The Daniel Dilemma, and we had the subheading, How We Stand Firm and Loving Well in a Culture of Compromise. And we've looked at how, in a world that can often seem quite anti-Christian, and Paul shared some statistics a few weeks ago about the number of people who die for their faith, the number of churches that are burnt down, and we have also applied it to our culture. And we've seen Daniel as a teenager being taken into exile, and as a teenager refusing to eat unclean food. And we've followed his life all the way through to a man in his 80s refusing to compromise on his worship of God and being thrown to the lion's den. And we've just looked at this man, Daniel, and seen this amazing example of how we can stand firm in our faith. But I just want us to be really honest. Do sometimes when we are facing hard times and persecution, do we feel like giving up? Do we feel that, to be honest, is it worth it? And of course, the answer is, of course, it's worth it. And some of the season campaigners here will be, of course, it's worth it. But I just want you to just be really honest, because it is hard living against the culture, which can seem so anti-Christian. Sometimes we read too much into things, but sometimes it can be something as simple as your family don't understand what you're about. I've known people who have become Christians in this country whose family have disowned them. Thankfully, years later, they've become reconciled. You can just turn on the TV and just feel that people are constantly bashing Christians. Or you go on social media and everything's like just making a mockery about the stuff that we believe. And sometimes you can just feel like, is it worth it? Well, it is. And from this passage, we're going to see it is worth it. The reason I'm saying this, I know some of you have had friends that have come to church or seem to be interested in Christianity for a bit. And then after a few months, they're just like, it's just, they don't feel like it's worth it. And I want us to see in this passage that, of course, it's worth it. And Daniel knew it was worth it. And what we get in this passage is two alternative views. We see the spiritual perspective. That actually, what I mean by that, is our daily battles, the trials we go through, are part of a bigger picture. There's a spiritual battle going on. And what's great about that battle is we know the outcome already. Jesus has won the battle. If you follow Jesus, you are on the winning side.
Amen.
The also other perspective we get is the eternal perspective, that what we're going through now, even though it might be absolutely awful, I don't know what people are going through, it's only momentary. Daniel, one of the big themes of Daniel is all the kingdoms that are going to come to the earth. So we saw the Babylonian, the Persians, the Greeks and the Romans. And we've seen all these people say, kingdoms come and go. But in this passage and in the book of Daniel, we see that there's one kingdom that starts off small and insignificant. A baby born in a stable. A man nailed to a cross. And this kingdom grows and grows and fills the whole earth. And it's the only kingdom that lasts forever. So the spiritual perspective, I'd say, I'll go quite quickly with that because Russ spoke a lot about spiritual warfare last week. In this passage, the angel is talking about the time with Antiochus and this great tribulation that's going to happen. But we also see that the angel's talking about another time, a time at the end just before Jesus comes again. We can see that because he says, at this time when there's going to be great distress and persecution, other parts of the Bible describe it as the Great Tribulation. It says these people will be delivered. And we know that is when Jesus comes again. And it says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. We're talking judgment day there. We know this didn't happen at the time of Antiochus. You would have heard about it in a history book. Someone would have noticed all these vast multitude of people coming back to life. We would have known about it. So we know that this hasn't happened yet. But it is going to happen. It's not wishful thinking that Jesus is going to come again. 100% Jesus will return.
Amen.
As much as he came the first time, he is coming a second time. And we just read, and it says at the beginning, it says, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. I'm not getting into all angels and that kind of stuff, but there's a spiritual battle going on throughout history. The book of Revelation talks about it, the battle that Michael has with Satan. But as I said before, we are on the winning side. We know the outcome of this battle and it should change our lives on a daily basis. The battle isn't only just going to be won in the future, but has been won on the cross. Jesus has died and defeated the effect that sin and death have on our lives. And that when we are going through extreme trials, just day to day, and the running thing, we're on the winning side. We've got a little fantasy football league in church. There's a few of us, and I'm rubbish at it. And every week, there's a player who does really well, so I change my team to buy that player. And then the next week, that player gets sent off. And this has happened 3 times now, and I'm getting really frustrated. And wouldn't it be great if I knew in advance who was going to play really well? I pick them for my team, and we say hindsight is a good thing. Well, what we have here is foresight. We know, no matter what we go through, Jesus is coming again. Yes. That we will arise, in these words, like the brightness of the heavens. So that should affect our day to day. As an aside, what we see later on, and I just wanted to mention this, and it's what Paul was saying about the importance of knowing God for ourselves. Daniel was able to stand because he knew God. We can see that when he went to the lion's den and he wasn't prepared to stop his worship, his quiet times. But it just says in one of the verses, at these end times, and I'm not saying we're in the end times now, we're not in this time of tribulation, but it says, many will go here and there to increase knowledge. We now live in the information age. I have access here to so much, the world's information that's ever, human knowledge is here. And it says, the wise in here will know where to go. Where are you going? And I know Russ likes to say, are you going to God's word or are you going to Google? When life gets sort of, we need to be honest, where is our first port of call? Are we going to God? Or are we going to see what we can find on the internet? And obviously the internet's useful, but we should be knowing God and going to God's word. We should be going to God's word for ourselves, not just going to YouTube and watching what someone else has to say about God's word. Again, that's helpful and useful, but we should be going, reading God's word, asking God and the Holy Spirit just to open our eyes. Yeah, I don't, yeah. Don't know, that wasn't any of my points, but never mind. But what we see here, and as I said before, is the eternal dimension. That Jesus is coming again and everything is going to be made right. And I'll be honest, I don't understand the bit about the end, about the days. Why is it 1,290 days? Why is 1,335 days? And this is specific of the people in Antiochus's time. All I know from this is God's timing is perfect to the day. That sometimes we can be going through something and it can be absolutely horrendous or a difficult time, and we just pray to God, please just take this away. And nothing seems to happen. And we live in a culture these days where everything is instant. You get everything now and we're not prepared to wait for things. I went on holiday to the Lake District at the beginning of the summer, and the internet was rubbish. So that meant no iPlayer and no Netflix. And it was, I tell you what, it's barbaric what they do to people. I had to watch TV when the programme was actually on the TV. I had to wait for a programme. And I hadn't realised I hadn't watched live TV. And I hadn't realised that TV was actually rubbish these days. It doesn't seem that long ago since Dean brought out Sky Plus, and I thought that was magic, that you could just pause and rewind live TV. But I hadn't realised that I'd got used to everything on demand. And we can be like that in our lives, that when we're going through something, that God's just going to just take us out of it there. But God doesn't say that. God doesn't say that we're not going to go through these times. We are going to go through it. We studied the book of Malachi a couple of years ago. And in Malachi, we looked at the theme that there's two fires in Malachi. The fire of judgment when Jesus comes again, but the fire of the refiner's fire. And we looked at that. And it talks about the refiner's fire in these verses as well, that some... many will be purified and made spotless and refined. And we talked about what a refiner's fire is. And basically, if you've got a metal like gold or silver and you want to make it pure, you heat it up to a very high temperature. And what happens in the fire is all the impurities rise to the surface and are burnt away. And you're left with a pure metal. There was a woman who was interested in, as the story goes in this passage, about the refiner's fire. And she went to visit a refiner and she saw the process. And she noticed there was a stool by the fire. And she said, what's that for? And the refiner was like, that's the most important bit. I have to sit and watch over the whole process. If it's too hot or too cold, the metal will be ruined. If it goes too far, the metal will be ruined. I have to watch the whole process. And that woman just realised there and then that when you're going through the trial, God is with you. It doesn't say you're not going to go through the fire. It doesn't promise. In fact, the Bible says you will have troubles, but God is with you through the fire, watching over you, and his timing is perfect. And that's what we get in these verses here. And I just want to finish just with the last verse. And if you are feeling in that place where I feel like giving up, I just pray that you see that you're on the winning side. You don't need to give up. You've won. But not just that, but that God's timing is perfect. And this, I just pray that this is a prayer for all of us. And as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you that you are on every page of scripture, as Russ reminded us. Thank you that you have come and you're coming again. I thank you that you have given us access to you through your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. Thank you that we don't have to do anything special, anything. We just trust in you and your sacrifice for us. And we can have a relationship with you and know your presence, particularly when we're going through tough times. Amen.